Our police protect, they patrol, and we've given them the right to use deadly force. Is it used responsibly? Are America's police connected to the neighborhoods they serve? Now, a special presentation, Beyond Officer-Involved Shootings. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I so appreciate our four guests joining us here for this conversation. And boy, we've all agreed, one thing we all absolutely agree on, this time has gone by very, very quickly. And boy, we may have to do a part two on this at some time in the not too far distant future. But to the Chief of Salt Lake, thank you for being here. To the Sheriff of Salt Lake County, thank you for being here. Professor, thank you from the University of Utah. And then also, I so appreciate the President of the Latin American Chamber of Commerce in Taylorsville joining us. And if I might go back to you, and that's Juan Manuel Ruiz, and if there is kind of a Christmas wish list representing the biggest part of our minority population here in the state of Utah, what would be your wish list if you could say, Chief Burbank and Sheriff Winder, if you could do this, what a difference it would make in our community? What would it be?
Well, thanks for the question. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about what we could do as a community to become more involved with the police and to respond to their needs of having more people from the minority apply for jobs with the police force. But answering the question, I think that it would be great if we could have more of a one-to-one conversation with the community. I want to say about a couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to present an award to Chief Burbank as an organization. And we had about 150 people or 180 people there at the event where we were presenting this award or this recognition. And Chief Burbank stayed there for a few minutes and talked to a lot of people. And it was funny because after he left, people were very surprised and they were saying, he's actually very nice. And it's like, what would you expect otherwise? And that shows that individuals have a different perspective of police. They think that they're this really grouchy, you know, mean people. They're actually very humane. Just recently, I read that article on this kid that had a mental illness and he was calling 911.
Right. That's a great story.
It was a great story, and it shows the humane side of police officers, and I think we need more of that.
You know, wouldn't it be interesting? I've just been pondering the response I just got with that question. Well, that's not really what I was thinking. I was thinking, now, what could I do for the cops? And you caught me off guard. And, boy, what a better world we would be in. I'll throw this to the professor. You know, as you contemplate this and some of the challenges that we have, what do you see as some of the solutions quickly? And then we'll take this phone call that has been patiently waiting.
One way to think about it is there's systemic issues and then there's individual, you know. So there's all, we could look at policies that might, like I think back to the 60s and 70s when I was growing up and how we changed some things, the civil rights legislation and so on and so forth. So, I mean, we haven't really talked about that yet today. On the individual level, I was thinking about ego. We haven't used that word yet. And I like Eckhart Tolle's definition, you know, identification with my beliefs. And just because I believe something, of course, doesn't mean it's true. Like my stereotypes about police officers or my stereotypes about some group. And one of my favorite sayings is the difference between a child and an adult is that a child continues to feel like he or she is a victim. As long as I think I'm a victim, then that justifies any violence. You know, there are inequalities in our country. There's a lack of trust, as we've talked about, and so on a systemic level, we need to continue to look at our policies and change them. On an individual level, I'd like to see us challenge our young people to move to adulthood, because some people never do. Some people stay a victim their whole life, in all groups. You know, and feel like, and then justify their behavior, whether it's in their marriages or families or communities. And we can do better than that. We can. So on the one hand, we expect too. I'll say, this is the last thing. We expect too much of our children. They all have to be. They all have to win the football game. They have to be a star. They have to be the best cheerleader, and so on and so forth. But we don't expect enough of the right things, I think, which is developmental maturity. You know, and we ought to address that. And I think the schools is one place to do that, because everybody has to go to school, you know, including yeah. college, you know, and think about what is a grown-up like? Because grown-ups would think, when asked the question, what can I do for the other, instead of the first response being, well, what are you going to do for me?
Let's go to Alan's phone call, and I'll give our law enforcement officers a chance to respond as well in just a moment. But, Alan, you've been very patient. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Actually, it's still morning.
Still morning, barely.
With all due respect to the chief and the sheriff, and this is meant as no disrespect whatsoever, I deal with a lot of officers. I have family. Actually, I have family in one of the respected represented forces that you have on the show. There's been a shift in mentality in officers that I've noticed over the years, ones that have retired, some have passed, that I've known in my very long life. I'm old. And the new shift that when I talk to the man on the street, the cop on the beat is the popular phrase. It's come down to a mentality, and again, this is no disrespect to Chief Burbank or Sheriff Winder, but they're up front. They're in the office. They have the politics to deal with more than anything. They have the Doug Wright Show to do. They have to talk to the mayor, especially in every place else. The cop on the beat has come down to the mentality that I think has put us where we are at. And it's summed up, and I hear it from them time and time again when we talk about events, current and past. If it comes down, and this is almost a verbatim quote from the officers, if it comes down to who goes home at the end of the day, it's going to be me, the officer. And I will make sure that there's only one report to write and one story to believe. That's mine. I'm not passing judgment on it. I'm simply reporting what I hear on a very regular basis.
All right. Let's get a response from both of these very prominent leaders of law enforcement here in the state of Utah. And I think we started with Chief Burbank last time. So let's go with Sheriff Winder.
Well, first, again, I appreciate the frankness of the gentleman. And look, to say there is a shift in the attitudes of officers, I think officers are not from outer space. They're from here. And I would agree there's a shift in the human perspective. We've talked about it a little bit. It's not by way of rationalization, but we live in a society of me, in I, not of us. And I am very thankful and appreciative and just listening to the professor. Thank goodness we have sharp minds in our educational institutions, and people need to avail themselves of it. Because what I get a lot of is, what's in it for me, whether it's a citizen or a cop or anybody else? And looking at this as a community, as a collective, where we actually do care about others, it's not something you necessarily train. It's something that is inbred in a human being, that is the empathy for others and the ability to say, I am doing for you. I work for you. I am here. You know, we were joking about the other day in my office. Somebody went off on this conversation. I said, gee, what you just said about service for other, I'd like a T-shirt with it. And somebody said, the T-shirt ought to just read, I serve. It's what we should be doing in our community, Doug, rather than, you know, this, it's all about me and I don't care about anybody else. And I'm not saying officers in general are selfish, but people are selfish. And we have so little in our community where people are out truly doing to move the community forward. So don't blame it on just the cops, because they're reflective of the broader society. And I see the professor shaking his head. It's the truth. Yeah. You know, healthcare. I know it sounds totally off the subject. I don't care what happens to anybody else who's uninsured, but doggone it, what's going to happen, you know, to me, and what are my costs going to be? Well, that doesn't exactly move the collective team forward. So what the gentleman is articulating, I agree with. The question we ought to be focused on is, how do we change it? And, you know, maybe I'm not smart enough. But I'm looking for realistic suggestions about a solution to where we can have people be concerned for others.
Chief Burbank, your response.
You know, I've absolutely heard that sentiment, and it's nothing new. It hasn't changed. I mean, this goes back to when we, you know, you survive encounters. I mean, we actually, there's a whole school of police survival that is taught throughout the nation. I mean, you have a bunch of different things in attitude that takes place, but you have to hold that in contrast to each and every day I see my officers who risk their lives for other
Absolutely.
People, who run into burning buildings, mm-hmm. who do CPR on individuals that may have some, you know, disease that may affect the officers, that take needle sticks and all sorts of different things that will put themselves in a bullet's way in order to protect someone else. You see this time and time again. And so it runs in contrast to those statements. And one thing that is important is when we have a sense of entitlement, and that doesn't matter who it is, when you feel that you are entitled to certain things because of what you are, who you are, that is wrong. And that is the downfall of policing, and that is what has led to our problem right now, that I'm entitled to ignore the police. I'm entitled to do this because of for whatever reason it may be, and we won't go into that. That is the downfall of our society, is a sense of entitlement, mm-hmm. right? But what you see, and it doesn't – it's Salt Lake City. It's Jim's people in the Unified Department. You see officers who sacrifice. Even though you hear this sentiment, they are the ones that go out each and every day and risk their lives.
Well, can I, if I might say something that might even be politically incorrect or unpopular, I'm still reflecting back on what that person said. And you know what? If a police officer is facing a bad guy, guess who I'm rooting to go home safely that night? Guess who I'm rooting for? Let's take a break, and we'll come right back with more of today's Doug Wright Show Town Hall Meeting here at KSL News Radio.
Beyond officer-involved shootings on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I just wanted to say, regarding the officers and the police, that as far as I'm concerned, they're doing a tremendous job. And I believe they just need to keep doing what they're doing. I don't know what else to say except, as far as I'm concerned, they have a very difficult job. There are a lot of different varieties of people out there, attitudes and et cetera. And I just think they're doing a tremendous job. But every officer I have met, I'm just truly impressed with them. So please, just tell them thank you.
We got a lot of comments like that, by the way, as well. And I cannot, at the end here, we're probably going to run really close to the top of the hour, but I really want to thank not only those who have participated today, and by the way, Mr. Ruiz had to leave us. He had another obligation, but I want to take a moment to thank him, of course, to the sheriff, also to, of course, our Salt Lake City Chief of Police, to the professor for joining us today. But I especially want to thank our listeners who bought into this, who participated into this. I like what we've done here. I like the format of having, in a non-intimidation way, people able to leave their real thoughts and be very candid. And I think it's added much to the conversation. We have just enough time to quickly go around this panel and get a final thought from each of you. And Professor, if you don't mind, maybe we could start with you.
Okay. Grimace when I'm out of time. Yeah, I liked what the Dalai Lama said. Somebody asked him, what's the purpose of life? And he said, to learn to love yourself. And it sounds kind of corny, or maybe people confuse that with narcissism, but I can't really love more than what I know. And so, the word educate actually means to draw out, not to fill up. So I think the mark of an educated person, in part, should be to know and understand and love myself, and also to learn to love others, because they go hand in hand. Right? You know, and that means facing the things that I don't so much like. Sometimes we call that the shadow, as well as the things that I am proud of, right? And maybe we all, I think we're all very similar, us human beings, us little monkeys that dress up in clothes every day and go to work, you know, that we struggle with differences. My favorite assignment with my dialogue class in Peace and Conflict is the students have to go talk with someone that they're struggling to speak with. And it could be an estranged family member or friend or whoever, and then report on what happened. And I give them a good grade if they just try and they act respectfully. So that, I guess the last thing I'll say is that the goal in education is learn not just to tolerate other people, but maybe actually learn to love them, which doesn't mean I have to like you, but to learn to love each other.
Thank you, Professor, for your thoughts. And Sheriff Winder, let's go to you next.
Well, Doug, first, thank you very much, and I want to applaud you and KSL in particular for taking the time to address what is just an incredibly important topic, and And I guess the sentiment that I would like to leave with is that, you know, I've said it over and over again, law enforcement officers reflect the broader society. And we live in a society that has many, many, many strengths and has its imperfections. But as we have been talking here, you know, law enforcement as a profession is extremely necessary. And in our country, and specifically in our community, they do an amazing, amazing job. And the key is to look at the highlights, the good activities on a regular basis to understand what it is your public safety, specifically your law enforcement officers, do for you. If we're going to focus on the 0.0001% of the incidents, and now that is reflective of everything, that is a mistake, not only in looking at law enforcement, but in looking at any human being.
Mm-hmm.
So honored to serve this community, and I appreciate the comments of your listeners, and especially those that have expressed their sentiments to our officers, and I guarantee you that we'll get back to them.
Thank you, Sheriff. And Chief Burbank.
I am proud to be represented by the men and women in my own organization and throughout this state in law enforcement. They do a tremendous job in a very difficult situation. But one of the things that makes me most proud and the reason that I continue to stay in this community and work in this community is comments like Juan said. What can we do to engage in dialogue programs like this? We, in Salt Lake City, especially in Salt Lake County, engage in dialogue, and we don't fall into the pitfalls of rioting, looting, and lawlessness that have existed elsewhere in the nation.
Amen.
Thank you so very, very much the participation of our panel, and thank you so very much to those of you who have listened, those of you who have participated, and those of you especially who will take much of this to heart.